worship God, church, for His majesty. Worship God, for He is mighty. Mighty, He is powerful. He is almighty. That's the God that we serve. The God that spoke the universe into being. That's our God. The God that knows every song and star by name. Do you know the songs? Stars have a song. They put out a sound. It's in Job. The stars have a song. He knows them by name. It's hard. You know, I've said this before, but, you know, we often compare grains of sand and the stars in the universe. And I've been to the beach. I've been to Ocean City. There's a lot of sand there. Just in one place. There's a lot of sand in this earth. But we're told there's actually more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on this planet. How big is our God, right? Who spoke it into being. In 7 days created all that there is. Wow. Worship God, for He is mighty. God's not as concerned about how many people that He has gathered that are on His side. I think He's more concerned, are we on His side? By many or by few, because God is not one who has to win the battle by many or few. When Gideon was preparing to come up against the Midianites, he had 32,000 strong ready to go to battle. God came to him, "That's too many. I won't have it be said that you won the battle, Gideon, you and your people. This is my battle to win," God would say. "Pare down your numbers." Gideon says, "Are there any volunteers that are afraid? You can go home." 10,000 men raised their hand, and they went back to farming. 22,000 remained. God says, "Now that's still too many. Go to the creek, go to the stream, and watch. Tell them to get a drink. Watch those who bow down on their hands and knees and drink out of the creek with their face to the creek. And compare that to the ones who take a drink and bring it to their mouth and lap it." And I believe without question, one of the purposes of that is this: for Joshua and his leaders to watch the people to see which ones would take their eyes and focus off the battle, because the enemy was just over the hill. And those that would reach down and simply drink and pull the water up to their mouth and continue to look out, they were the ones that were vigilant. And there was only 300 of those out of 22,000. God says, "Take those 300 men. Those are the ones that I want. I don't win a battle by many or by few, because the battle belongs to the Lord." In fact, David, when he went up against the giant Goliath, so much larger than him, Goliath had every advantage in that battle except one. David carried something that the Goliath wasn't aware of. You think it's a sling and the stone. It's not. He carried a name with him. He carried the name of the God of Israel. That's what he carried with him. It was God that directed the stone. In fact, David said that the giant was intimidating him. And David said that the assembly, all the armies of God were cowering, but they were watching on the sidelines. And David said that the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. Today I will remove your head from your shoulders so that this people will know that there is a God in heaven. And it's His battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. What battle you're in, I don't know, but it belongs to the Lord. You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading in just a moment at verse 17. Our focus is worship. Say that with me. Our focus is worship. Worship the mighty God. King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. He was a quite godly king, not perfect by any means, but still a good solid king. The armies of Moab and Ammon had come against him, and the scripture says a multitude was on his borders. He was preparing to be, if you will, overrun. And it says Jehoshaphat, like any human might be, he was afraid. He was fearful. But it says he turned his face towards the Lord. He went to the house of the Lord. He turned his face to the Lord. He began to pray. He called a fast in the land. He cried out to the living God who is mighty. In that land, in that temple in Jerusalem, they had the Levites. One of the roles of the Levites was they were the worship leaders. They were the musicians. They were the artists of the day. And they carried people into the presence of God with song. One of those Levites, his name is Jehaziel. He gets a word from the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He gets a word and he says to the king, "Do not fear, this battle is not yours, King Jehoshaphat, it's the Lord's battle." And he begins to give him direction as this worshiper has received from the Holy Spirit. He gives direction to the king and his leaders what needs to take place to win this battle. Wait, I call that in my notes prophetic worship. We don't just sing songs. We declare the goodness and the might and the power of God in our songs. You say, "Well, I don't see it at the moment what you're singing." Well, then keep singing with us because you're going to see it, because the Word of God, I have the Word of God in what we sing. We vet our songs carefully. They're not about singing to feel good. They're not about singing to say, you know, you're great and I'm great and we're all great. This is about the power and the will and the Word of God. Praise Jesus. And that's why we worship. And so this worshiper came forward with prophetic worship. The prophetic worship means we declare the Word of God in our songs. It's, in fact, the prophetic worship, declaring the truth of God in song. There you go. That's my definition, but probably other people's too, but I like it. So he says, "King, don't worry. Here's what you got to do. You need to worship." What? You need to worship. The enemy's out there on the border, you know. I'm afraid. Trust me on this. I got the word of the Lord. Chapter 2 Chronicles 20. I'll begin reading at verse 17. This is his instructions. "You need not fight this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see that the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Let me read that again. This young Levite prophet came to him and said, "You don't need to worry. This battle belongs to the Lord." I'm going to read verse 18 again. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground." That word worship actually means to kiss. Whether you're kissing the ground or kissing the hand of the one you're honoring, it's a figurative way. And he's bowing in worship, his face to the ground. "And all Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell down in worship before the Lord, and they were worshiping." Say that with me. They were worshiping the Lord. And then jump just to verse 20. "And then they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and your Lord, and He will establish it. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed.' And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed those who sang." Say that with me. Those who... He didn't appoint the slingers. He didn't appoint the archers. He didn't appoint those who could build a barricade. He didn't appoint anybody else but those who could sing prophetic worship. For those who sang to the Lord and who praised Him in holy attire. So they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set an ambush against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And so they were routed. They were struck down. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped destroy one another. And when Judah came out to look out of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude. And behold, there were corpses lying on the ground. And not one had escaped. They turned among themselves. Upon themselves. The enemy turned and basically devoured itself. Boy, can you see that possibly happening in our country? I can see that happen. This enemy this enemy that is going against the way and the nature and the call of God in our schools, in our society, in our media, in our movies, in our music, in our culture, in our relationships, in our marriage of one man and one woman, in the preservation of life, there is a movement that is dark that's going against those things, and you know it, and I knew it. And I'll tell you what, I believe without question that God is able to turn these enemies and begin devouring themselves and to be cast down, and that the church one day can look out and say, God, I don't know how you did it. I didn't have to lift a finger. All I had to do was pray and worship and bow my head to the ground. Wow. Whew. The old man's getting excited. But I got something to be excited about. I've said this the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I'll say it again. You prayer warriors that have been in here day and night, in your homes day and night, I don't know what to tell you. The power of God is amazing. He is here to work today. Wow. To touch hearts, to touch lives. The church, our God, is mighty. He is mighty in battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. It's prophetic worship. We sing it. We're not singing just words. We're not just singing a voice into the air. We're singing to God the truthfulness of His Word and the nature of Him. We're singing it. And we honor God. That's how we worship. So the band's going to begin to play here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand. Because we are talking about our mighty God. Our mighty God. Thank you, Lord.
Who can stop the Lord? Lord. Praise the Lord. Please remain standing if you can. Our God is the Lion of Judah. Amen. Wow. In fact, we'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Can't wait. Not only is He powerful in battle, what's shown to us in the Scriptures and what we've seen in our day and in our lives, the miracles that He's brought about, defeating cancer and deliverance and bringing to life that which would seem that it's going to die. The miracle of mended relationships. The miracle of an amazing provision that was unexpected. The miracles that take place. He is a mighty God. But the greatest battle of all time was not against coronavirus. I'm not diminishing the effects of it. It's not against cancer. It's against Satan. It's against the power of darkness that cannot stand against light. It's the power of darkness that cannot stand against goodness. Because when the goodness of God comes, it eclipses and overshadows and destroys the power of darkness. And that day, even though Adam and Eve had spoken for mankind, they gave Satan the keys to this race. That Jesus, when He died, the innocent man, the only innocent man that ever lived, God in the flesh, when He died and gave His life on the cross, He paid the price so that we could live forever. And Jesus, when he gave up His life, He said those words, "It is finished, it was done." When He came back to life, He said, "All authority has now been given to me. Here's the keys. I got the keys back, folks." Praise Jesus. It was finished on the cross. It was finished. It's the sufficient work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is not a... In fact, I believe this. Christianity is like... It's the only religion, maybe... It's not about a religion of works, folks. It's not about how good you are. It's about how good He is. And we take His redeeming work, not ours. Because praise Jesus, my righteousness is as filthy rags, the prophet said. But thank Jesus for His righteousness that we receive in the Spirit. When we say, "Yes, I receive Your righteousness, God. I don't have my own." Even that cloak of goodness and righteousness. It's the battle of the ages for the authority of mankind. And the day that Jesus died on the cross, His last words, "It was finished." It's done. There's no more to be done. You can't add to your salvation. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul's going to after the Galatians. They're beginning to believe that they had to be circumcised and follow all these particular things of the Jewish law. And he said, "Who has bewitched you? You have turned so quickly. Were you perfected by works of the flesh or by the Spirit? If you are perfected by the Spirit of God, why are you trying to add to it?" Church, I want to remind you, our God is mighty, and He fought the greatest battle, the cosmic battle of the ages, and He won. Son of God, perfect. It was finished. Please sing it with us.
Darkness was slain, all His passion poured out like the rain upon the earth. Three days buried, they came to mourn. The stone was rolled away, the veil was torn, for He had risen. He is the King of all the earth. Hallelujah, He has conquered death. Good death, and He reigns. room was shaken. The wind of God, fire from heaven, descended upon the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
The power of God for all the earth. Hallelujah, He has conquered death. We cry holy, He reigns in all.
Please be seated for now. We worship our God for His majesty. We worship our God because He is mighty. And we worship our God because He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's deserving of all honor and praise. That's the God that we worship. In the New Testament, the word worthy appears a number of times, and it has an interesting meaning. It means to have weight. It has weight as though it were on the scales. And if somebody is worthy, it's almost like it's proven true. This is right. This weight is shifting the balance, and it's correct. It's having weight. It's able to tip the scales. It's found in Daniel chapter 5. We won't take the time to go there. Nebuchadnezzar had gone, died from the scene, and one of his relatives took the throne in Babylon. His name was Belshazzar. Belshazzar was having a party in the palace. He thought it would be a good idea to go get the holy vessels that were taken when Babylon invaded Judah a number of years ago from the temple. The precious ornaments of the temple of God, the very temple that King Nebuchadnezzar and his army had taken back and they put into the treasury of their God. Belshazzar thought, you know what would be a good idea? Let's go get those. We'll drink our wine out of those precious goblets. He'd certainly clearly been given chance to repent. But finally on that day, when they were drinking out of those precious holy objects, something fascinating appeared. A hand appeared out of nowhere, began to write on the wall, just the hand, and began to write these words. And the words were, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." And he didn't know what that meant. He didn't understand the lingo. But he knew there was a man who was godly, would understand that writing. And he was an interpreter of many things, dreams being one of them. His name was Daniel. So they called for Daniel. They broke up the party and put the hold button on it. And Daniel came into the courtroom and he says, "If you tell me what that means, I will bless you in so many different ways." Daniel goes over there, he comes back, he says, "I don't want your blessing, but let me tell you what it says. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." He says, you have been weighed in the balance of God and you have been found lacking. God has weighed you out. Your kingdom, your rule, your reign has been weighed out. You're lacking. Your kingdom is being divided among the Medes and the Persians this very night. And his end was sure and swift. And so it was. History shows that Darius the Mede came under the wall, he and his armies, that very night, invaded Babylon, and Belshazzar lost his life because he'd been weighed in God's balance. How would we weigh out if God put us in the balance, the spiritual holy balance? I must say, if it was me, I wouldn't do real well. I wouldn't be worthy. I wouldn't have the weight to take what it takes. And the only reason I have what I do have is by the righteousness of one who is worthy. His name is Jesus Christ. He's able to tip the scales in your favor. Do you understand that He's worthy of our praise because He has weight? He has weight because He's true. He's authentic. He's proven His righteousness. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, the story there, John is... He sees the heavens open. He comes into the courtroom of the very God on the throne. There's a scroll in the hand of God on the throne, the Spirit of God. And the scroll, by all accounts, is it's a scroll of decrees. It's a scroll that we would find out would be basically the title deed to the earth or the future of the planet of mankind. But it was all sealed. And John says that they were looking for somebody in the heavens or on earth or below the earth that was worthy to be able to open the scrolls that God had in His hand. It says, no man was found worthy. And John says, I began to weep. And as I began to weep, one of the elders came over to me. He says, stop weeping because the Lion of the tribe of Judah is in the room. And He's worthy to open the scroll. And then he says, John looked and I saw a lamb as though it had been slain. It had seven eyes. That are the seven spirits of God were covering this Lamb who was Jesus Christ Himself. He said that the seven spirits of God were on Him: the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the knowledge, Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord were on this Lamb that was slain. The very Spirit of God was upon Him. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 4 says, "With righteousness the Messiah will judge the earth." And you see what this scroll was again the future plan that God has for the earth, for the judgments that must take place, because our God is a just God, our God is a righteous God. And just because you think He's slow to act does not mean He's not going to make things right, because a day of reckoning will come for this universe. I guarantee it. And Jesus Christ is the one He has appointed to do that. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, all of a sudden the 24 elders begin to bow down and worship, and they began to sing, and the angels began to make declaration in the heavens. In verse 12 of Revelation chapter 5, it says this: They were crying with a loud voice, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," Jesus Christ, "to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all things in them, I heard them saying, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down to worship." Worship the Lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ. He is the only one on heaven and earth and under the earth that God says is worthy. He had the weight. He had paid the price for mankind. He was allowed to take judgment upon the earth. He was worthy. He tipped the scale. And they bowed on their knees, these heavenly beings. They bowed down in worship. He is worship. And understand, as I said earlier, worship means to simply to kiss. It means to kiss as though you're kissing the ground, and kissing the hand of the one that you love, to bow down and worship. And part of worshiping is surrender. It's surrender. It's saying, "God, even though I think I have this right, I surrender it to You. I surrender my past to You that I've been holding on to. I surrender my offense to You that I've been holding on to. I surrender my sin to You that I've been holding on to. Whatever it is, God, I surrender it to You. That's my worship for You. I worship You. I surrender." Would you please stand? We have two more songs, actually three more songs, and then we'll finish the service. But this is about surrender. Where's your heart at today? Where's your life at today? Where are you spiritually in your walk? What are the things that you're not willing to surrender that God says, "I need you to"? Let Him minister to your spirit right now. Sing with us, "I Surrender."
Remain standing. We just have a couple more songs, but I want to just share a couple things with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes this: I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Understand what he's saying there is he's using the metaphor of our body as a sacrifice, because in the scripture, a sacrifice was burned up. Can I tell you? It's a metaphor. He's saying, give all that you have and allow God to put the fire on what you placed on the altar, to burn off the dross, burn off what doesn't belong there, and what remains will be what I want to use to empower to change the earth. And when you're willing to put yourself on the altar and God applies the fire, all of a sudden, not only does hell come out of us, but heaven comes into us. And what comes forward up to the heavens is a fragrance that's pleasing to God, the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about there, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Pentecost, 50 days after the first day of unleavened bread, which starts at just after the Passover, 50 days after, they were to bring their bread. It was from the wheat harvest. The second harvest was the wheat harvest. And it was an offering of fire to the Lord. Understand that we today, we don't bring bread. We don't bring grain. We don't bring wine offerings. We don't bring oxen. We bring ourselves, our lives, our very being. We're the sacrifice. To be burned on the altar of God, and God supplies the fire. But I've noticed where there's fire, there's fragrance. Church, when there's fire, there's fragrance. When we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice on the altar of God. We have a picture here. I don't want to, if the tech team could find that and show here. It may just seem like a picture to some of you, but to some of us, my wife saw this. This happened a week or two ago. It was in this very building. And it was right around noontime, and the sun, the time of year was perfect. The sun was shining through there, which it often does. But the interesting thing is Peggy had placed the offering plate on a table in the back. And the offering plate was there.
And the sun shone down and reflected at that perfect time of day. It was almost at noon and reflected this beautiful, radiant. In fact, I frankly wonder if God isn't meaning this, sir, that this is some type of signal that almost looks to me like the coronavirus. I don't know if he's getting ready to deal with that. I don't have the word of the Lord on that. But I want to say this. It gave something beautiful from the offering plates. Now, let me just cut the thought off here. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with money. I'm not here about the money. I'm here about the offering. And God, I took this as a sign that God has something special to say to us in this house. It happened right in this very room. It was beautiful. It's just a beautiful, as you can see, it's almost an entire circle that was made right in the center of the rear of our sanctuary. Strikingly beautiful. And I put it in these words: God is seeking an offering from LifeTree Church. It's not money. It's us. Us. A suitable living sacrifice that He can pour fire down on. We read last week in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, "Remain here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Not many days from now." He said that at the end of the book of Luke as well, that God is sending the Holy Spirit. He's coming down. It's the promise from the Father. Understand something. These same men are the same men that would have heard John the Baptist saying, I preach a baptism of repentance, but there's one coming after me, Jesus Christ. He is going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. These apostles knew that. That there's fire involved, in fact, and they knew, these being solid Jews, they would have known that there is no sacrifice without a fire of some type. In the book of Leviticus chapter 9, when Moses and Aaron had prepared everything for the temple, and finally they came and they got things ready, and Moses says earlier in the chapter that we must do everything that God has commanded. And when they had done so, it says that fire came down from the Lord and it consumed the sacrifice. That was the tabernacle, the wilderness tabernacle, like the early temple. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon had built the most beautiful building of its day, the temple in Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles 7, it says, "When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down and consumed the sacrifice." And Hebrews 13:15 tells us to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. We're the sacrifice. We are the offering. We are it. And my challenge to all of us is to lay our lives down on the altar of sacrifice and saying, "God, You want to make something beautiful? I give You my life. Burn off what doesn't belong there with fire. But while You're at it, leave that fire in me like the day of Pentecost, that I can go about speaking with boldness, that I can perform signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, so that the world may know that the cities will be turned to You in revival." I've just summarized what I've talked about the last 2 weeks. And I believe God still does that, by the way. I believe it. And I believe that I strongly suspect part of the disciples' prayer during this 10 days would have been asking to receive the holy fire from heaven that John the Baptist says was coming. I can't help but think otherwise. So as I close, we have just a couple more songs and we'll be done. We are preparing for a fresh breath. We are preparing ourselves. We are preparing our hearts. We are preparing LifeTree Ministries. We are preparing that not that we would be special in that God would only send the fire to us, but that we would be one of those that are obedient and calling for God, saying, "God, we need a revival in our nation. We need a revival in our churches. We need a revival in our schools and in our culture and in our businesses, in our government. God, we need to turn to You. I don't know if it's going to be the coronavirus or what it's going to take, but God, Your church is calling out for more of You. Pull down the fire on us." Those apostles were never the same the day after Pentecost. Before the day of Pentecost, before the fire came, they were doubting, they were denying Jesus, they were fighting, they were men just like us. They may have been men just like us after that, but they had something special. The fire came down, it burned off the dross, and imparted something to them that only God can give. Amen? Fresh breath, church, we need it. We have two songs we'll close with, and then we're just going to put them right together, two choruses, talking about fire. I'm simply saying, I'm asking you as you sing this to make it the prayer of your heart. It's the prayer of our heart. It's the prayer of this house. God, until we see the fire fall down, we will continue to be obedient. We will not sit around on our hands. We will continue to pray. We will continue to worship. We will continue to reach out to our communities. But God, we simply ask you for a greater impartation of your Holy Spirit on us, on the churches in this region, on the churches across this nation. We are crying out for more of you. Your scripture tells us there's more to be had. I want you to sing with us as we sing. Make it your prayer. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire.
Make it your prayer.
Down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Sorry about
that.
Good. seek your fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray. Fire, fall down, your fire, fall down. We seek your fire. us your glory. And as we seek fire, fall down, fire, fall down.
Thinking about what it would have been like to be waiting in the upper room. They had just seen Jesus do things that they had never seen before. They had seen the power of God heal, and they'd seen the power of God cast out demons. And some even had it in their hearts that Jesus would set up an earthly kingdom. But if we could go there just for a moment to think about what that would have been like to walk with Jesus during that time, and then to watch him be crucified on the cross, and how their foundations of everything that they had believed about God and what they had been told about God through their ancestors and all the things that they had learned was completely shaken. And Jesus came in the flesh, fully human and fully divine. And he released everything. He revealed the Father. That's why he came. He revealed the Father. When he was crucified, he died and he was buried, and then he rose again. And he appeared to them. Now think about that. Think about what that must have been like to experience all of this. To walk with such a man of power and such a man that was so close to God. And then to have him appear alive again before them, even showing the holes, where the holes were in his hands. And he was walking through walls. It just never ended. The supernatural reality of who God is in our life.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why it was important that he had to do that.
Yes.
And he had told them to return to Jerusalem and go and wait, because the promise of my Father is coming. They didn't know how long it was going to take. They didn't know how long they were going to wait in the upper room. They just needed to go and do what he said. And I can't imagine. Are you hearing me? About what was going on in their minds, trying to grab a hold of all of that. And then they're waiting and they're worshiping and they're positioned. They're positioned to receive the promise. You got to know that that's where we're at right now. We're positioned to
Amen.
Receive the promise. And I want to put some of the fears to rest. There's a lot of backgrounds in this house. There's a lot of teaching that has been given to us that wasn't quite right, including me. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to come. You just need to obey. Nobody needs to lay hands on you for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Saul had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. and the Spirit of God knocked him off his horse. And if that's what some of us need, then praise Jesus. God, knock us off our horse. Sometimes you just receive the infilling by being quietly in prayer, asking for that promise. You have enough of the Spirit to keep you out of hell. But we need more of the Spirit to keep hell out of us.
Amen.
It's continuous. It's not just a one-time event. Pentecost was an event, if you will. The tongues of fire and the Holy Spirit came because it hadn't yet come. So it was an event. But for us, it's a continuous walk. It's a continual infilling. It's a continual seeking. It's a continual laying our bodies on the altar, as my husband said, to keep laying ourselves on the altar. And God sends the fire. All you need to do is desire it. All you need to do is ask for it. Because it says that you being good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask? If you ask for a fish, He's not going to give you a snake. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to you. Remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if you're waiting for an event, if you're waiting for, you know, you're praying for this. No, you obtain the Word of God by faith. It's obtained by faith. It's you apply the faith and it's yours. It's your inheritance. You keep pressing in until the rest of it manifests in your life. Because Jesus said, I have much to tell you now, but you can't bear it right now. Because foundations need to be built in us. Foundations need to be set so that we can carry out what He wants to pour out. And that's part of the crushing. That's part of... God help us when fire comes upon us. Get ready, church, because the crushing and the holiness comes with it. He's going to ask you for something. He's going to ask you. Because see, when we commune with the Holy Spirit, there's a desire that comes when you're with something that you love, okay? And when you're with love itself, you can't help but desire that love because it's the most pure love. It's the most holy love that you could ever experience in your life. Who wants to be with somebody they don't know? And this service today was an example of what it looks like to live in a place of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. For worshiping spirit to spirit. And it means to kiss God. To kiss God, to worship God, it means to kiss God. It's communion with God. It's intimacy with God. Church, this is the church. This is not the church. This building is not the church. You are the church. You are the bride of Christ. Oh God, I pray that the desire, just raise your hands unto the Lord right now. And you know what? It's okay for right now. If you haven't desired God. And I want to say this with love. If you're bored with God, you need to get saved. Because one thing I know, when you know God, you desire Him. And that you know if the desire leaves you, you know you need to cry out and you know where you need to be on your knees on the altar before God till He sends that fire again and fills you with that zeal and fills you with the ability to walk an ascended life. That's what we're supposed to be. Church is not about coming on Sunday and going home and forgetting about God. It's about living it every day. It's about releasing the kingdom in every sphere of influence that we live. And God, I pray right now for every hand that is raised. And every person that feels like they've just been asleep and they've been slumbering and they can't figure out what is this thing that they're talking about at church. God, I pray right now. I don't gotta wait till next week. God, I pray right now that fire fall down on every hand that is raised that needs a fresh infilling in Jesus' mighty name. Holy Spirit, just come in this place, Lord. Just blow in this place, God, and fill every heart. Fill every heart with desire. Answer every prayer, God. Heal every disease, God. Heal every emotional bondage, God. Heal every marriage. God, save our children, God. Bring them back to You, Jesus. I just declare and decree that this The bride of Christ is rising. I declare and decree the Holy Spirit is in this house and He's filling you right now. You must believe that in the name of Jesus. You take a hold of it by faith, church. Come on. And you keep pressing in. And you keep pressing in. And you ask Lord to fill you until it overflows. Until it flows out of you. And until the corona of Christ is just around you. And the light of God just surrounds you. In the name of Jesus. And people get saved because they're standing next to you. Because the Spirit of God is so strong. Because you are so intimate with Him. Can I tell you, He's amazing. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing Father. God, I thank You, Lord. God, I praise You for crushing. I thank You, Jesus,
thank
for Your
Lord.
Great love. You know, that's what this is about.
Thank You, Lord.
He just loves you so much. You got to know that.
Thank You, Lord.
Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to perform. Stop trying to, like, well, I'll do that when I get
you,
there, when I know more and when I can do it better.
Jesus.
God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about what you don't know. He knows it all. Can I tell you? Nobody
Thank
knew
you,
a
Lord.
Thing about the Holy Spirit in the upper room.
You,
Can I tell you? Nobody knew a thing about it because none of them had received it.
Thank You, Lord.
Don't worry about it. Don't Thank worry you, about what you can't change.
You,
Don't worry about who doesn't like you.
Thank
Just
you,
give it to God. Worship God and let Him fight your battles.
Yes.
Lord, I bless this house, God. If we just position ourselves as we
Thank
continue
you,
in this 10 days in the upper room.
Thank You, Lord.
God, we're just coming
you,
because You are good. And we love You.
Thank You, Lord.
We're not trying to coerce You to do something. No, it's not like that. We just want more of You.
Thank You, Lord.
Just want more of You, God, and we love You. Can you just
Thank
say that?
Jesus.
Just
Thank
say, I love
Lord.
You, God.
Love You, God.
I love
Jesus.
You, God. Just come and fill me. Just
Thank
say
you,
that.
Lord.
Come and fill me with Your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Fill me with Your Holy Spirit.
Thank You, Lord.
Fill me with that ability to live an ascended life. Fill me with that ability to overcome.
Thank You, Jesus.
Fill me with Your Spirit. And You promise us that we'll pray in new tongues. I pray, God, for... Some of you in here have been pressing in for that. I just, God,
yes,
bless them.
Release that.
I bless them to be able to speak.
Thank You, Lord.
To get past their heads and let the Holy Spirit come.
Lord.
There's
Thank
no
you,
formula
Lord.
For that. It doesn't look the same for everyone. You got to know that. Don't worry about it. To build relationship in this house where we can withstand conflict, not run from it.
That's right. Amen. Thank You, Lord.
God, I pray for vulnerability over this house, God. Just a strength and unity in this house.
Thank You, Lord.
Because that was what You told them. One accord.
Thank
that
you,
was
Lord.
The very first word I got for this church was
yes.
one accord. And I trust You, God,
Thank you, Lord.
That You will perform it.
Thank You, Lord.
No matter what it looks like. God, we worship You. We love You, God. We just want You. We want You to have this house. We want You to have our lives. Praise You, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And everybody said, Amen.
Amen.
Just worship the Lord.
Praise
just
the Lord.
Worship the Lord. Just thank Him.
Thank You, Lord.
Just thank Him.
Thank You,
just
Jesus.
Just worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, you
Come
can
on.
Do better than that.
Thank You, Lord.
I know we've been worshiping for a long time, but this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to worship the Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
You sing.
Yes.
You read Scripture. You make declaration. You prophesy over your life.
Thank You.
Angels respond. The Spirit of God responds to His Word. And we must learn how to do this.
Thank you, Lord.
We must learn how to do this. This is how we fight our battles.
That's right.
This is how we fight our battles.
Thank you, Lord.
That's it, folks. This is how we fight our battles. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him praise.
Thank you, Lord. All right. We are so glad you're here. A number of you we haven't seen because of the coronavirus. We welcome you back. We're so glad to have a number of you back. We miss you, but I understand staying away. I praise the Lord. God has been good to us. You know, I'll just one or two closing remarks. We won't take an offering. The offering plate's at the back to avoid the personal contact. Please continue to pray for Manor Care and the residents of Manor Care, because the coronavirus has come there very strong. But just continue to declare in Jesus' name that the lives would be spared. I know a number of them, they lost some in the fall to the flu, standard flu, and now to the coronavirus. And they're certainly very at risk. But pray for those amazing people in there. I know, Larry, you and Peggy have a relative in there, and so maybe others here too. So just pray for that. And do we have any announcements? We have a video. That's right. We have a video. So we're going to play. We're going to do it at the beginning, but I rolled over that. And so this is a moment. Please sit down. It's a two-minute video, but it reminds us of our debt and gratitude that we owe. The Memorial Day is for the fallen soldiers, especially to remember the lives of those who gave their life fighting for our freedom in this country. We are free as Americans, so we're blessed. Would you please give your attention to the screen?
In a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them, what they did, and why they had to be brave for us.
You know, we're all aware, this is church, our freedom was paid for. Our freedom in Christ was paid with blood, the blood of Christ. But our freedom to be here in this church was also paid for by the men and women that fought for us, for this nation on the battlefield. Praise God. Thank you for our soldiers and for those that gave up their lives, God. We thank you for the freedom they defended for us, that we can stand here today and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. You are dismissed. Oh, we have an announcement. You're almost dismissed. What is it? All right, the upper room, continue to pray. This Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Yes, please try to be here for that. We'd love to have you here. 10 days of prayer. Pray where you are. I think there's slots out there. We have a sign-up sheet. If it's not there, please contact the office if you would like to join one of the days that we're praying there. So we have a team for every day. So I won't say it again. Deb, do we have any more? Okay. All right. We love you guys. You are dismissed. When our audio and video is done recording, if you happen